This is the BrizNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Ed DeRosa.
Well, not exactly Anthony Stabile and Ed DeRosa. I'm Bobby Newman, sitting in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Welcome to the BrizNet.com call-in show here on Horse Racing Radio Network. I'll be joined shortly by Action Ed DeRosa, our good friend Anthony Stabile, out just one more week as he gets over all of those COVID issues that he and some of the other folks up on the set at NYRA had to be dealing with. Spoke to Anthony a few days ago. He sounds great. He's energized. He wants to get back, and he will be back here on HRRN and on Talking Horses starting next week. Of course, next week is when Belmont starts up. They start next Thursday, September the 16th. To my knowledge, the longest scheduled break, barring disaster, that NYRA has taken in my lifetime. They were off from this past Monday, Labor Day, closing day at Saratoga, and opening day at Belmont Park, not till Thursday the 16th. So, you know, basically 10 days in between live racing. It seems to be the way things are going these days. I mean, once upon a time, and I grew up in Southern California, Del Mar would run 6 days a week, just like Saratoga did, every day except Tuesdays. Saratoga would always close on Labor Day. Del Mar would actually close on the Wednesday after Labor Day. That was the day of the Del Mar Futurity. And then Pomona, or Fairplex Park, if you will, would begin the very next day on that Thursday. And they would run every day of the week for 18 straight days. So we've gone a lot of different direction since way back then. Obviously, we have a much lower horse population nationwide. There are more racetracks running as well, and other issues that have been well chronicled over the last few years, especially why tracks are not running as much now and taking more breaks than they used to. But New York and Belmont Park specifically will be back next Thursday, and the Big A, Anthony Stabile, will be back here in the lead chair as well for the BrizNet.com call-in show next Thursday evening. The phone lines are open. Give us a call. You can ask anything you'd like, and I'll do my very best not to give you a politically correct answer. I will give you my honest answer as best as I can to not get myself in a whole heap of trouble. Phone lines to call in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-4776. 888-966-HRRN, if it's easier for you. While we wait for our first call, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Oh, and this is an interesting one. Mountaineer stewards suspend riders for false physicals. Mountaineer Casino and Racetrack Resort stewards suspend 15 jockeys September 6th for presenting falsified physical examination forms. A physical, a routine wellness examination by a healthcare professional, is required for riding at the West Virginia track. All but one of the jockeys received suspensions of 15 days, while another, Eddie Hirado, was suspended 210 days and fined $2,500. In addition to presenting a false document, Hirado admitted to, quote, producing and or delivering fictitious documents, copies of physical examinations, to 14 other jockeys to perform their work duties at Mountaineer Park, end quote, the stewards wrote in their ruling. His suspension is from September 9th all the way in through April 4th. Juan Velez, Eric Barbaran, Angel Serpa, Jose Davila, Louis Hernandez, Brandon Tapara, Eder Martinez, Luan Machado, Odair Maita, Jose Leon, Sonny Leon, Logan Holbrook, Ricardo Mejias, and Fernando Becerra were the other jockeys cited by Mountaineer stewards for presenting false documents. None of the riders had appealed their suspensions as of 10 a.m. September 8th, according to Joe Moore, the executive director of the West Virginia Racing Commission. Their suspensions begin this week. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The September issue of Blood Horse Magazine features 154 pages, including No Easy Ride. As top jockeys reach their peak, NYRA Colony features impressive depth, national parks, integrity, safety, more important than ever, as Philly area track garners greater attention. And a sleeping giant stirs. Big change could be coming to racing in China, but how big is big? Download a copy of the September issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play, or subscribe today and receive a free gift at bloodhorse.com/subscribers only. And as I bring in my co-host, Action Ed DeRosa, to the line, Ed, you know, I'm somebody, I don't like a lot of chaos in my life. Sometimes I enjoy reading about chaotic things that are going on in other people's lives. This is a screwy story. Ed, we're just reading the story about 15 jockeys at Mountaineer Park submitting false physicals to get to ride there. Listen, people who look like me are supposed to be submitting false physicals to get to do something. Jockeys, in general, seem like they're the fittest people on the face of the earth. Why are these guys submitting fake physical exams?
It's a great question. I mean, body mass index, I don't know if West Virginia has rules on that, if that's an issue. You know, height, weight, proportions for jockeys, maybe.
Yeah, I'm failing, you know, all of that. Everything you just said, yeah. numbers are bad when I go in.
I could see in the back of us in a sulky.
Yes, I things where I get to sit down, I'm pretty good at. You know, I think I know what decisions to make. I've never tried that. I'd love to do it once. I know we know a lot of people who have actually had the chance to sit in a sulky, and whether they're just jogging horses around or actually in those amateur driver races, I think it would be fun to try it. I'd be scared my first time, but I'd have fun doing it. But I'm fairly certain that I could pass the physical exam for that.
Yeah, no, it's and the volume of jockeys. I mean, it wouldn't shock anyone. I don't think, oh, you know, two guys tried to get away with something, or a guy here or a gal there, but 15.
Supposedly, according to the Blood Horse article, they're still going to have enough riders to not be in trouble for the days that these folks are missing, which is good news. Let's go to the phone lines. Josh in California, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, gentlemen. Enjoy your show. I'm glad
Thanks, Josh.
To have Ed on here, because I use BristNet quite often, and I was kind of curious to know what your thought process is on handicapping one of your races using BristNet. How do you start off? Do you start off with the summary, work back, or do you use your prime power type of stuff? And how do you handicap a race personally?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and we're all different. But for me, I definitely like looking at, assuming it's not chock full of firsters, definitely like looking at the powers and just getting a feel for which horses have the ability to compete at this level. You know, so if the power speed rating's 90, I don't necessarily need to see a bunch of mid-90s, but, you know, upper 80s, low 90s, which horses fit that? And I'll look at the pace powers too, and just get a feel like, okay, is this – there's only one E-type, but is that horse actually fast enough to run power? Because – that to me is a little bit of a hidden angle, you know,
yeah,
when you look
absolutely.
At the potential pace of a race and you think, oh, gosh, this horse only won with ones and, you know, could be alone on the lead. And then you look at the pace ratings and realize, well, wait a minute, they're just as fast early as some of these
yeah.
others. And, you know, that could be an advantage if, the, you know, that horse figures
I mean,
to take money. So those are probably my first two steps.
Yeah, I go definitely go to your summary to see if there's a lone S or a lone E, you know, without a doubt. And I was just curious how you specifically attack a race, you know. And so I was curious. How about you, Bobby? I enjoy your handicapping, too. How do you go about it?
Well, I use the Ultimate Past Performances as well. And thanks very much for your call, Josh. I've used them for many, many years to the point now where you know, I like many people, used the other periodical when I grew up, and I loved it. I love these Ultimate PPs with BristNet. First of all, I think the speed ratings are superior with BristNet than they are with other products. And I'm not talking about things like the Ragusan sheets. That's a whole different ball of wax when you come to something like that. But I trust the numbers with the BrisNet Ultimate Pass performances. I love the stats they put in. They're very intricate, you know, getting down to, you know, last 60 days, last year and a half or so. I like the turf numbers, the off-track numbers that you see in these, the percentages they give you when they're telling you about sires and dam sires, you know, trying the turf. You know, the more information, the better. I don't really need down to the hundredth of the second. I was never a big fan of that. I think the Racing Times, which is no longer around, was the first one, Ed, to kind of go from the tenths of a second to the hundredths of a second.
That they were big in that.
Or
sure.
In fact, not even from the tenths. They went from the fifths down to the hundredths. Listen. If you're telling me the horse runs 143.12, or just tell me the horse went 143 flat. It's not going to be a difference maker for me in that. But in the grand scheme of things, more information is better. I love the information that I get daily from these Ultimate PPs.
Yeah, no, they're great, and you know, there's a lot, and I, you know, hear, well, there's so much information, and admittedly, you don't need all of it, for sure. That you don't need to use every piece of information every race. But if it's a maiden race, the pedigree can come in handy. If it's lifetime claimers, finding the speed of the speed could come in handy. There's usually something to me that gives an edge on all race types with the Ultimates. And, you know, I think that's another thing they bring to the table.
I'll tell you another thing, and it doesn't happen with all trainers. Some of the stats they give you, especially with horses like returning off extended layoffs, and when I say extended, 90 days or more, you know, there are a lot of the big name trainers, Chad Brown, Brad Cox, Bob Baffert, their stats are pretty much the same no matter where they are. You know, Bob Baffert's winning 25 to 30% of the time with firsters, with layoff horses, with this, same with Chad Brown. Brad Cox is somewhere in the 18-20% range with basically everything he runs. But every now and then you see a trainer that, you know, maybe they're not that kind of a billboard trainer, but you look at their stats and say, wow, this trainer's really good with layoff type runners. You know, their horses fire off these layoffs, you know, where he or she may be an 11 or 12% trainer overall, they're winning 22% of the time with these layoff runners, or the other way around, where, you know, this is a 15-16% trainer, but they're 7% off lengthy layoffs. You say, this may not be the spot where I want to use his or her horse.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think too, seeing the different categories allows you to realize, you know, I mean, I hear it from, you know, my analyst colleagues a lot, where, you know, oh, this so-and-so's 22%. And then you dig into the numbers a little more and it's like, well, wait a minute. They're a 28% trainer. So this angle at 22%, by no means bad, but to me, that's not an upgrade situation. And you'll hear people talk about it like that sometimes. And I think with, you know, BrisNet, it gives you a little more context.
Once again, the number to call in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Speaking with Action, Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and BrisNet.com. Ed, we saw some great two-year-old races over the weekend at both Saratoga and Del Mar. Steve Asmussen sweeping the two big two-year-old stakes at Saratoga with Echo Zulu and Gunite in their big races. Bob Baffert with his quote-unquote other runners sweeping the Del Mar Big Stakes with Grace Adler and with Pinehurst. From what you saw of those four runners, you know, who are you most interested in going down the line and looking at something like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Juvenile Fillies, or maybe looking toward the big races as three-year-olds?
I would definitely say the four, the Spinaway winner, impressed me most. Debuted brilliantly and came right back and did it awesomely as well in the Spinaway. With the two-year-olds, and I would say the East Coast just outperformed, just looking at the numbers. I like, and what I saw personally, but I think the East Coast held the better hand. among the grade ones. But more importantly, I just think with the males, what we've seen over the last few years is, you know, these trainers with the point system, they're not cranked as much early. Goodnight, certainly a great horse, and Breeders' Cup implications for sure with him. But in my mind, when it comes to these Derby types, it just seems like they're more likely debuting in late August or September, such as Essential Quality did last year, and not necessarily, you know, pointing for the grade one sprint races.
By the way, Bob Baffert had one such like that named Corniche that debuted the other day, was rumored to be Any Sort, and he looked like Any Sort. Don't know how far he'll go, but he looked like a real good one that debuted in closing week or within the last closing 10 days or so at Del Mar. Let's head back out to the phones. Barry in New Jersey, welcome to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Bobby, thank you. Thank you for what you and Ed and young Anthony from Howard Beach do for keeping the game alive. So thank you for all the horse racing talk. Two questions for you, if I may. One is going to test your offer for an unbiased answer, so to speak. But the first question is, I've been involved with the game for a long time. Part owner with some partnerships years ago, and going to the track a half dozen to a dozen weekends a year. I go back to the 77 hopeful with Ali Doran affirmed up at Saratoga, just to give you an idea of my age. What happened to all the allowance races? How come there are no, you can't find a non-winner of two, a non-winner of three? Everything's a starter allowance or allowance optional claimers. What am I missing? What's changed with these straight allowance horses, or has the claiming aspect of horse racing taken over the game?
Well, I think I can answer that partially in the fact that racing secretaries, racing offices around the country have realized that they can get bigger fields by adding more conditions to the race. So instead of having an allowance non-winners of two races lifetime, they can put up allowance non-winners of one other than, or non-winners of two races lifetime, or even more popular than that is the allowance optional claimer now, where non-winners of one other than, or non-winners of two life, or in for a, you know, whatever, let's say $40,000 claiming tag. So instead of being just getting six allowance horses in the race, now you might get nine horses in the race, which, of course, brings more handle.
Okay. I can accept that.
Am I on the right path with that, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, that's and then I think within the claiming specifically ranks, you sort of go in the opposite direction where, you know, these 10,000 claimer non-winners of two lifetime, you know, it's great for the horsemen, the owners. And I definitely am sensitive to striking that balance of, you know, keeping them in the game and churning some purse money. But, you know, those are six horse fields, whereas to me, once you break your maiden, a $10,000 horse is a $10,000 horse. And, you know, if you want to run them for 10, then have at it. Maybe you restrict to three-year-olds earlier in the year and all that. But I wish we'd do away with the condition claiming. That to me, is where we run into the field size issue.
All right. And Bobby, if I could test your offer for a politically correct answer. I was up at Saratoga over the weekend. I was up there early in the meet. I was up there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, speaking to some people before the jockey club back in the paddock. Notwithstanding having the exact number of times with Happy Saver and Max Flair, we were looking at the race beforehand, and we all said to each other, this might be the worst grade one for older horses at Saratoga we've ever seen going into the race. Your thoughts?
Are you talking about the Flower Bowl or the Jockey Club Gold Cup?
No, the Jockey Club Gold Cup with Forza Di Oro is the favorite, you know, having never done anything out of allowance company. I thought the quality of that grade one, notwithstanding how wonderful Saratoga is and we all love it, I just thought it was a horrible grade one. That's all.
Well, I'm sure that we've seen worse grade ones than that. I mean, you did have a horse in Max Player who just beat Mystic Guide and won the Grade 2 Suburban. You had the defending champ from the Jockey Club Gold Cup last year in Happy Saver in the race. Forza D'Oro was kind of an up-and-coming horse. So, you know, I mean, I would say that the race last year, I mean, was the race last year at Belmont a better field? It was certainly a shorter field, the one that Happy Saver and Mystic Guide, and what was it, what's the horse that Anthony loves? The Bill Mott horse that always runs second or third.
Tacitus.
I mean, now, are you saying just at Saratoga or just overall the worst grade one you've seen?
No, not overall at all. I just thought having one grade one winner in there and, you know, having won one grade one race, period, I just thought it really came up weak, and I'm not trying to be, you know, crazy critical. I was just very disappointed. I thought, you know, I don't know if it spoke to the depth of the older dirt horses this year, you know, with no Nicks going there. But I just curious your thoughts as to whether I'm, you know, over the edge. That's all.
Well, I don't know if it's the weakest we've seen. And thanks for your call, Barry. Here's the thing. The reason the Jockey Club Gold Cup was at Saratoga this year is because NYRA recognized that they were just not getting big quality fields for the race that they've had in their heyday. Now, you know, part of it is just the fact that there aren't as many horses right now. Overall, there aren't as many horses. And if you just look at the horses that competed like in last year's Breeders' Cup Classic, you know, the best 3-year-olds and up distance horses, the horses that you would think could be Jockey Club Gold Cup horses down the line, most of those horses retired after that race, whether it's Authentic or Maximum Security or Improbable. You know, I think there were like 6 of them out of that race that ended up retiring shortly after. So horses are retiring sooner. They're going to stud. They're starting their stallion career, making boatloads of money doing that. And we just have less horses right now. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the races are still going on for straight 3-year-olds, and you're not going to get horses like Essential Quality or, you know, Medina Spirit or these horses to run against older horses until they need to run against the older horses. Why would they? They can keep running for just as much money, if not more money, against the straight 3-year-olds. Don't have to worry about facing their elders until they get to, like, the Breeders' Cup Classic. And, you know, it's just that combination of factors. I don't think it was that weak of a race overall, Ed. I know it was a short field, but I think there was some good horses in there.
Yeah, I thought the gnashing of teeth was a little overwrought, if I'm being honest. You know, for better or worse, the Jockey Club Gold Cup is, in my mind, not been that great at Belmont. And I actually advocated and wrote an essay kind of encouraging NYRA to make a move with it, which they did. And I'm not suggesting that was because of me, but I was aligned.
It's completely because of you.
Yeah, I was aligned with their thinking, you know, and it ended up not panning out from the standpoint they didn't get Maxfield, they didn't get Nixco. And, you know, ideally, those are horses you'd like to see in my mind, one of the most historically prestigious races we have in this country. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the big calf I put in that same bucket, and it's fallen off the map somewhat because of the international racing in the spring. So it's tough.
It is tough. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back out to the phone lines. The number to call in, 888-966-HRRN. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? then BriskNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BriskNet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BriskNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BriskNet.com/APR. The BriskNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BriskNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BriskNet is the handicapper's edge.
Welcome back to the BriskNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman sitting in for the big A, Anthony Stabile. Action Ed DeRosa joining me this afternoon, taking your calls, HRRN Nation, 888-966-4776 is the number to call. And Ed, while we have a second here and we're waiting for our next call, I want to ask you about another performance that we saw over the weekend. It was not a stakes race, although you could argue that this may be the best horse we saw all weekend. What do you make of John Sadler's trainee, Flightline?
I was blown away. Obviously, had a lot of hype with the maiden win, and that certainly was nice. This to me just, I thought his action, you know, watching him, the clock, I mean, everything about it said to me, this is a superlative grade one animal. You know, the biggest question, you know, obviously besides the class and the stakes company, is given the time between starts and they didn't debut until after the classics as a three-year-old, there's certainly, you know, merit to questioning his soundness or, you know, how many of these he can put together. But based on what I saw last out, I mean, I with the proper training and lead up, you know, so not saying I'd play him tomorrow, but I don't think there's a horse we've seen this year that's better than him.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, he's never going to face a horse like Essential Quality because they're just not going to run the same distances. Although John Sadler and his assistant trainer, former jockey Juan Leyva, I think that Flightline can be a two-turn type of a horse, whether that's a mile or more. I don't know if we'll ever see him going two turns.
Well,
you know, there are horses that are too fast for their own good. I'm hoping he's not one of them. He did supposedly the time that he took off between his debut and his second start had something to do with a foot abscess that was just very minor, and it caused him to miss about a month of training. And obviously he came back as good, if not better, than advertised. We'll see where he shows up next. They have not made a decision. The smart money says that they'll be pointing toward the Malibu at the end of the year, but that doesn't mean that the Breeders' Cup Sprint can't creep in there.
No, and I mean, he's by Tappet, who's, you know, a Belmont Stakes dynamo, obviously an Indian Charlie mare. You know, you may say, well, that's, you know, not stamina, but to me, it's a, you know, like a Go Sapper situation, or even Wise Dan. Wise Dan ran in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and I think his third or fourth start. And I mean, the good ones can do it all. And being by Tappet, I just don't understand the thought that he's limited by distance. But I certainly understand that as a three-year-old, he's not going to, you know, they're not going to run him in the Classic on November 6th or whatever date it is. So by no means do I think he's going that long anytime soon, but there is no reason in my mind we're not talking about a potential Go Sapper situation where he can go longer as he's led along. I mean, even Zenyatta debuted at one turn. You know, the good ones make it all look good, the really good ones.
earlier today on Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, Jude Feld and I had John White on as just kind of a last-minute call-in, and he's been a morning line maker in Southern California for many, many years, and he's a racing historian, and asked him the question, you know, as of now, if Flightline were to go into the Breeders' Cup Sprint and face off against Yaupon and Firenze Fire and Jackie's Warrior and CZ Rocket and Flagstaff and the others, where would you put him on the morning line? And he said he would make him favored in that race just off these two efforts.
That's music to the Jackie Warrior's backer's ears, I'm sure, but I would have to agree with him. I would think he would go favored. You know, and that's the great thing about racing, because then now all of a sudden you got a puzzle to figure out as a bettor if you want to take that short of a price given the question. But I mean, I've seen a lot of races, Bobby. You've seen more. I can't remember a performance that made me think, just watching one singular race like that, that this horse is a world beater.
Yeah, it's to the point, I think, now, and social media has a lot to do with it, and I'm not even on Twitter, but I'm sure with all of that and, you know, everyone messaging everybody about everything, and the fact that you can watch, you know, so many people don't have to be at the track to watch these things. You know, you can watch it whether you're sitting at home on one of the television networks or you're online with any of your betting accounts. Everyone has the access to this. We're at the point now where you almost hope not to see any headlines about this horse. Just please don't. I don't want to wake up and see that, you know, the horse developed an issue or the horse, you know, just something. Please just, I just want to know where he's going to show up next so I can watch. I probably am not going to be able to bet on him unless it's, you know, in the Breeders' Cup. You know, if you're looking to bet, you know, obviously if you're looking to bet against him, then wherever he shows up, you want to find. But other than the Breeders' Cup, I mean, I can't imagine this horse being any sort of a price, no matter where he goes, even if it is the Grade One Malibu. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll go back out to the phone lines. They're open, 888-966-4776. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs, September 16th through October 3rd. With the same strong purses back from summer and four new stakes races, you are not going to want to miss live racing at Churchill Downs. With the Win and You're In Grade 3 Iroquois, a Derby points race, and Grade 3 Pocahontas and Oaks points race on September 18th, plus the new Bourbon Trail, Louisville Thoroughbred Society, Harrods Creek, and Seneca Stakes, this September meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
Thoroughbred Charities of America raises and distributes funding to approve nonprofits that help thoroughbreds and the people who care for them. TCA's annual grants support aftercare and incentive programs, health and human service initiatives for backstretch and farm workers, and equine-assisted therapy programs that utilize thoroughbreds. TCA is one, helping many. Please support TCA today at tca.org.
We have the world at our fingertips, inspiration in our touch, and power in our hands. right here in our hands. We have the power to save a life. If you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest.
The power is in your hands.
Anthem Foundation is the proud national supporter of the American Heart Association's hands-only CPR campaign.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front. And nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrizNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman sitting in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Action Ed DeRosa on with me. And Ed, one of the things that we saw this past week, when we mentioned the Grade 1 hopeful and Steve Asman trainee Gunite running off and hiding by about five lengths that day, the favorite in the race was a Todd Pletcher trainee named Wit, who really has been his own worst enemy. He just has not figured out how to get out of the starting gate, even just to get out of the gate evenly with the rest of the field. And it finally caught up to him in the hopefully. He caught a field that was a big field and a talented field, and he just had way too much to do. He ran a winning race, but unfortunately, you know, he kind of cost himself. And my question to you is, you know, when do you start, you know, how do you start handicapping for something like this and when you're looking at Wit in races for the rest of the year?
You definitely don't want a short price. I mean, that's certainly an issue, with the horse with those kind of issues, but man, the talent's there. So it's hard to want to give up on him, but yeah, you just have to have the discipline to demand the price that sort of bakes in those questions.
I would say there's a very good chance that we could see him in the Champagne for his next start, which would be a one turn mile. It certainly looks like he has the running style, like a mile wouldn't be any problem for him. But and normally the Champagne is not quite as big a field as what you may see in the hopeful, so he wouldn't have as much traffic to deal with. But you and I are not trainers. Obviously, Todd Pletcher and his team are saying the same thing that we are. You know, when do you start believing that this thing gets fixed?
Well, I'll say one thing for Todd. I remember 4 years ago, so it'll be five derbies ago when we get to 2022, lots of questions about always dreaming and his head being in the game and this and that. And, you know, Todd timed it just right for derby. So, you know, with the way that this trail works, you definitely want to run well enough to get the points, but Todd has shown an ability to get him right when there have been those kind of questions. So that's certainly a feather in the cap. But, you know, at the same time, I tried to beat Always Dreaming, which I love Classic Empire. So I kind of already had my camp that I was in. But I tossed Always Dreaming completely. My thought was, you know, he's the favorite or co-favorite with Classic Empire. And there's these questions surrounding him and it's the Derby and et cetera, et cetera. And completely whiffed. So, you know, Todd's bitten me before with getting him right.
Yeah, you and I were on the same train there. I didn't like Always Dreaming at all, and I still don't like him to this day. but that's fine. It is. I also despise John Henry, which people think is sacrilege. But it was purely a gambling thing with me and John Henry. When he won, I bet against him. When he lost, I bet on him. I just could never be on the right side of wherever he showed up. So he stuck it to me many times.
Does that disdain linger, or once they're retired, you're like, yeah, he was a good horse?
No, can't. I recognize that he's a good horse. I just hated him.
Got it. No, all right.
I respect his ability. I just want nothing to do with him.
No, neither does Arlington.
Well, it is what it is as far as that. Of course, two-time Arlington Million winner in 81 and in 84. By the way, I think I told you this. I heard a great story from a guy who covered the Arlington Million when John Henry beat the BART. And he was at Aqueduct for the race and watching it there. And back then, it wasn't like tracks had full card simulcasting or even bringing in races from other tracks. So everyone used whatever it was, the ABC or NBC, whatever the feed was of the network that was covering the Arlington Million, and they showed those. Well, it was a ding-dong finish between the BART and John Henry, and the network put up unofficial winner, the BART, and went to a commercial break, and all sorts of people thought that the BART had won. And he had mentioned to me, he says, could you imagine how many tickets were torn up just because of that being shown? And it was a mistake, and obviously the photo finish came back, and it was, in fact, John Henry that got the win over the BART. That stuff's not going to happen anymore with all the technology they use now, but could you imagine that, putting up the wrong result in the first million-dollar race ever in this country?
Well, now they would, it would be assumed it was a conspiracy to get people to rip up their tickets.
And I would be right there with them. I agree with that 100%. It's a conspiracy developed by stupors, I guess, or what right? Yeah. Isn't that what it
got to the executive producer?
Yeah, and they instead of waiting till the end of the day to go around with their hefty bags and shoving tickets in them, they would just start immediately after the race ran.
I definitely was around for the stupor era because I grew up. There was no full card simulcasting, and obviously
do you
I
know the
ADW,
best placing?
But it was full on paper tickets. I don't ever remember, like, usually people I talk to that grew up at the track can kind of say, oh, yeah, you know, the stupor, and they have some nickname and they're a character. I never availed myself to the stupors of Thistledown.
Well, I'm sure at some point you knew guys that were signers for people that hit big tickets. Did you know a lot of those at racetracks?
I didn't know them as much personally. Just, you know, my grandfather was he booked bets. Before simulcasting, that was his angle. He didn't do as much with the actual tickets and the signers, but it's funny you bring that up. I play some tickets. We kind of split bets at Kentucky Downs, and the pick four today paid 600 something, you know, not a life changer by any means, but we were joking after the fact, and we take it for granted now, even though it's only been a few years, but I mean, that used to be a signer. You had a pick
right,
four.
602. 602 was the number.
And we spent, I think it was $100 ticket. So, you know, we only got 5.5 to 1, which is nothing. But the fact that those used to be signers and, you know, paying tax on, if you put $600 into a pick six and it comes back, you know, $5,100, that they're taking money off the top. So glad they got rid of that.
Well, your grand. A lot of people are glad they got rid of it. The guys who, and I should say maybe there were gals too, but the folks who were the 10 percenters, if you will, they were not very happy when that day came along.
That took away a source of income for sure.
Yeah, big income. Basically, there was something almost every day at the track, especially with simulcasting. It was so funny. I'm speaking specifically of down in South Florida. There's a gentleman who's still there now, and I'm certainly not going to mention his name, but he's a nice enough guy, and that's what he did a lot of times. And he was so well known that, you know, you could go to the maitre d' in the clubhouse and say, do you know anyone who can sign this for me? He'd say, hold on a second. And he'd pick up the phone and call or text this guy, and that guy'd be there within 90 seconds. So, it was a pretty good racket that he had, and I'm sure some of these other people got a piece of the action as well. We'll take our final timeout, come back with our final segment. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrizNet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more and discover why BrizNet is the handicapper's edge.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs, September 16th through October 3rd. With the same strong purses back from summer and four new stakes races, you are not going to want to miss live racing at Churchill Downs. With the win and you're in Grade 3 Iroquois, a Derby points race, and Grade 3 Pocahontas and Oaks points race on September 18th, plus the new Bourbon Trail, Louisville Thoroughbred Society, Harrods Creek, and Seneca Stakes, this September meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
So I could play sports and see my friends without having to worry about anything.
I'm ready for concerts to be back and just have a life again.
So I can actually eat pizza at my favorite pizza place.
Because I'm ready to travel again.
So that I can sit on the couch, read my granddaughter books, and hug her when there's a happy ending.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, comes to you every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on HRRN. Bobby Newman joins me for racing from tracks like Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and Santa Anita. We'll also bring you interviews with all of the players, both big and small, in thoroughbred racing. You can tune in to Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment on this week's edition of the BrizNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman sitting in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Action Ed DeRosa from BrizNet and Twin Spires. Before we go forward, Ed, what's going on over with BrizNet and Twin Spires? Any specials right now?
Well, with Kentucky Downs closing their weekend, big stakes Saturday, we have a place jackpot there, $12,000. That was over the 6 days. But tough sledding. So I think we'll have 4,000 up for grabs on Sunday, plus the Saturday is 2,000. So encourage people to check that out. And next time we talk, and I'm not sure if you'll be on next week, Bobby, but next time the show airs, we'll be in the midst of opening day at Churchill Downs, and a lot of great promos supporting racing being back in Louisville. So encourage everyone to go to Twin Spires for those. And of course, free PPs when you wager a BrizNet.
By the way, speaking of Louisville, and I certainly don't want to associate this necessarily with BrizNet or Twin Spires, but a memory that I have, and I took a picture of it, when I was there for the Derby this year and got to see you there, of course, and so glad to see so many people back on track at Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby. But there is a place, not of ill repute, but a gentleman's club that's about a block away from Churchill Downs. I'm sure you've seen it driving in or out of
nothing but fun.
Well, it's called Perfect Tens, and the reason I'm bringing this up is they had a phenomenal sign. It said Perfect Tens, and then underneath it says now hiring eights.
And I took a picture. I said, that's phenomenal. It was just so funny that, that they would put that out there. And
that definitely sums it up.
Yeah. We did not go inside to see to rate for ourselves. We took their word for it. But I thought it was pretty creative, whoever came up with that. Last segment here on the BrisNet.com call-in show. And speaking of Kentucky Downs, and you mentioned that you guys hit a pick four today. When it comes to handicapping Kentucky Downs, you know, I know they always have big fields. They have tremendous purses, and they have great payoffs, and they have some very different results. You know, there are some horses that just flat out run very well there and maybe better than they run other places. And conversely, there are horses that, you know, just don't bring their form there, and you can kind of draw a line through the races at Kentucky Downs. Do you handicap any differently these turf races compared to turf races on conventional turf courses we see around the country?
I don't, and part of my thinking is, my thought is, a lot of people, I think, psych themselves out. Oh, Kentucky Downs, it's different. It's, you know, this angle works there. It doesn't work anywhere else. Or so-and-so points for the meet. And all those are, you know, worth considering, maybe making a fine line decision. I'm definitely a black and white handicapper believer. I just think there's certain fundamentals. And, you know, at the end, it's about the price you want to take. Is Kentucky Downs a little more chaotic? Sure, the different course, you know, jockeys, some may ride better than others, et cetera. You know, those are all things to consider in terms of the price you want to take. So occasionally, you know, a horse who might be, man, this horse should be even money at Churchill or Keeneland, you may say, well, Kentucky Downs, I'm not willing to take even money. I need 3-2. Or, you know, a middle of the road horse where might be interesting, you know, 4-1 at Churchill against 8 others, you might want 8-1 against 11 others at Kentucky Downs. So to me, that's where the different decisions are made in terms of price sensitivity. But from a handicapping perspective, to me, speed is class. And if you have a pace advantage, that's still going to play at Kentucky Downs, same as it does anywhere else.
Let's go out to the phones. Charles in Mississippi, welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show.
I've been listening to you all day, and it took you 4 hours to finally come up with something politically incorrect, talking about a gentleman's club. Is there any difference between a gentleman's club and a men's club, Bobby?
Well, it says gentleman's club on the sign. I can only assume that they're advertising the truth.
Bobby.
I could just say it's a strip club, but I didn't want to do that.
Ed, how do you switch between Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman?
Sort of like, you know, when you go from a Cadillac to a Lincoln Town Car.
Oh, by the way, I prefer the Lincoln Town Car. It's my favorite car of all time, the most comfortable car you could ever ride in.
That was my grandfather's go-to.
Well, I tell you, you guys, I enjoyed the show today, and I can't wait till Belmont and Churchill open next week. And Ed, that Brian Hernandez is riding lights out, buddy. Lights out.
Yeah, he's Julian too, I would say. I think both guys looking to step up their game and make sure Tyler doesn't run roughshod over him at Churchill.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see, but I'll tell you, that flight line looked, he's some kind of fast, Bobby.
That's a darn good way to put that. I think that chart writer should have just put that in there, some kind of fast. That sums it up. I mean, there's the funny thing is, Charles, and thanks for your call, that there's really very little that can be said that people haven't said already about flight line. I mean, he's just, You can't look any better than he's looked in his first two starts. I really hope he just stays sound and we get to see how good he is. You know, in a lot of races, he's going to make them kind of unbettable unless you're just taking shots against him. But, you know, I don't know where he would show up where you'd think that there'd be other horses that have a chance unless he goes to, like, the Breeders' Cup Sprint. I mean, these if he stays in against straight three-year-olds, or you know, he runs in like a six-horse stake, let's say at Santa Anita, that you know, that's not called the Breeders' Cup. I mean, he's still going to be 1-5. Am I right, Ed?
Yeah, with I know Keeneland has a race for the three-year-old fillies sprinting the Raven Run. I don't know if they have a male counterpart. And I don't
What is the Beaumont? Is that this meet or the
the Beaumont's the spring. I think the Raven Run's the one, like the third week of the meet, and it's restricted to 3 year old fillies. They usually get a big field. But maybe it's the Beaumont. Those names run together for sure. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, it's other than the sprint. You know, we're even as the favorite. I mean, if you are really a believer, you might 2-1 might entice you against Jackie's Warrior and Yalpin. That would probably be the one spot where I'd be looking to bet against. I mean, the third career start, first against older, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, just hats off if he could win a race like that. I don't see him doing it.
Well, it's interesting. Trainer John Sadler, for many, many years, was not a guy who really shipped out of California very often. Now, over the last few years, he's actually had strings at Oaklawn. And there are certainly some stakes there that this horse could point to if he doesn't want to stay in California. What I would love to see for this horse is, like, whatever they point to this year, that's fine. But maybe next year, looking at let's try to get to the Met Mile. See if we can get this horse, because I mean, that could be Katie bar the door as far as right up his alley, a one-turn mile. And, we're just saying these things. It's fun to be able to plan for other people's property.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun of racing is, you know, playing racing manager and fantasy. You know, like I said, I think the sky's the limit. I see no limitation up to the classic distance in my mind. So, you know, the Met Mile makes sense as a early season target. And then the classic, which is at Keeneland next year, is a late season. But I think you said it best at this stage of his career, two starts in with the two starts, you know, coming months apart, you know, at this point, let's just stay on the trajectory and not get any bad news.
Well, we're about out of time for this week's edition of the Brisnet.com call-in show. I want to thank our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Action Ed DeRosa, regular lead host, Anthony Stabile, should be back in the chair next week. He is feeling happy and healthy and raring to get going back here on HRRN, as well as back over at NYRA with the opening of Belmont Park. Reminder, everybody, we'll be back with some more great action tomorrow here on the network. Race Day presented by Twin Spires, 3 to 6 Eastern Time. We'll be covering races from Arlington, Gulfstream, Laurel, and Woodbine. And then, of course, Dave Friedman and I will have the Weekend Stakes preview tomorrow night presented by NYRA Bets. Lots of great stakes action from Kentucky Downs and Woodbine this weekend. You've been listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Have a great night, everyone.